Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's always a privilege and an honor to go before the people of God on Wednesday night. I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank each and every one of you who've taken time out of your busy schedules to come and sit down and hear what the Spirit has to say to us in fellowship one with another, the Word of God. It is a beautiful time when the body of Christ, the believers, come together and be on one accord in the things of God. God ordained that we fellowship one with another. That's why God allowed the church to formulate so believers could have a place to gather together. And we are gathered here tonight on this line to hear what the Spirit has to say to us. It's not by accident that you called in. Hallelujah. And I pray that God be with us during this Bible study and that someone get a word from on high that they need in their lives. The Word of God is being poured out by His servants, by the aid of the Holy Ghost for the people. At this time, I want you to know that our lesson tonight is forgiveness is necessary for your well-being. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but it's been tried, proven, and tested, and the Word of God lets us know it's necessary for our well-being. And it's going to come from the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter. I understand that some people may not have gotten a notice of what book we was coming out of, but it's Matthew's the 18th chapter, and it's the 23rd verse. And I think that's how I got a little confused, because I posted the 23rd chapter, but it was the first. So if you could get your Bibles now. We in Bible study. When you study anything, when you go to school, starting from elementary through high school, you get a bunch of books. And when you go to the class, you study, you open your book. You go to college, you go to anything. There's an instruction book that you have that you follow. And when we in the Word of God, we have our Holy Bible. Be prepared. Come with a spirit of expectancy. Get your Bibles and open it to chapter 18. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And then we're going to, after the song is played, we're going to go to God's throne of grace in prayer with our sister Pam, and then we're going to come back and expound on the word. So if you can, get your Bibles. One other thing while I'm just talking, and I'm going to mention it again before we go off. Our Bible study, Words of Wisdom by Plain and Simple, that comes on every Wednesday night at 8:30. The time effective the first week in September, the first Wednesday in September, which is going to be September the 6th, our time for starting is going to be moved to 7 o'clock p.m. instead of 8:30. We're moving up a little bit early, but not too early. I think when we first started 12 years ago, a lot of people was working, and they had to get their children from school and do the homework and all of these things, and we thought, you know, cook their family's food, and we thought at 8:30 would be a time when you done finished everything and you done quiet down. But we're going to move the time now to 7 p.m. Wednesday, at 7 p.m., we're going to do Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. So at this time, I'm going to play the song. I'm going to come back, and we're going to go to the throne of grace, and we're going to expound on the word together. Again, I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. And God is pleased. You know, when we come together, God, it is our desire that, well, it's God's desire that the people be edified, Satan become horrified, and God be glorified. And that's our intentions on the night. Hear the song as it is played.
Jesus saves. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. I like how the young people be doing.
And that song was Jesus Saved by the late Darryl Coley. Jesus truly saved y'all. And he's in the saving business. And he didn't just save us for the afterlife, eternal life. Jesus is saving us every step we make and every breath we take. Salvation is granted to us here on earth, here and now, and it's going to carry us to eternal life. Jesus saved. From danger seen and unseen, holding back the weapons you deserve, giving you mercy, giving you grace, giving you everything you don't deserve. It's a part of salvation. We're being saved daily because Jesus do save. And at this time, we're going to go to God's throne of grace, and our prayer warrior is Sister Pam. The mic is open to you, darling.
Good evening, everybody. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Thanking you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you for our sister, Minister Ann Adams. Thank you, Lord, for affording her the opportunity to bring forth your word on this Wednesday night. Lord, we pray that you crown her head with the wisdom and with the knowledge that comes from you. Thank you for our Bible study, O Lord. Lord, I thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for your protection. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus the Christ. I thank you, Lord, and it's in your name that we give praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank you, God.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much, Sister Pam. Thank you for your faithfulness.
Amen.
And at this time, I pray that you have your Bibles. And again, since so many other callers have come on the line, we're going to be in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, and our lesson that we're going to, the verses we're going to expound on is verses 21 through verse 35, 21 to 35. So you could follow in the book, you could follow in your Bible. You know, the other day, we had a lesson about false teachers. It must have been on another Bible study that I was on, and it was telling you how you could determine. That might have been the lesson last week, but how you could determine a false teacher and, you know, how they teach and different things, and they gave examples. But you can't know if what someone is saying is false unless you read it for yourself. So many times someone bring you a teaching, a Bible study teaching, you may not have been familiar with what was being said. Many times people take, if they trust the teacher or the spirit lead them to believe what is true, they believe it. But many times, in the hour that we have for Bible study, God has given us this time to bring forth the word from the word of God. It's not enough time to really do as much as we would like to do in allotted time, but it should be enough to perk your interest where you want to go discover and enjoy and expand and grow on your own. Everything is not going to be said at this time because it's not possible. But I hope tonight that we get enough, the Holy Spirit illuminate and revelate enough to make us want to know more. Hallelujah. Want us to study for ourselves as workmen that we can all divide the word of truth. You can't just rely on what someone says just because it sounds good. You can't just rely on it and take it as what is right. So I encourage everybody, because I tell you all the time, I don't know everything, but I encourage others to research and to explore for yourself. And tonight is my desire and my hope that each one of us came with a spirit of expectancy, that the word that we hear, that the Holy Ghost will reveal, and we can go forward in the word and not just hear it, but become doers, and we can grow and build on what we have heard on tonight. So if you got your Bibles and you're in the Matthew's, the 18th chapter, I'm going to do a little background because you guys always let me know you like that. But tonight the background is going to be on forgiveness. And what I want to say in the Bible, forgiveness is the release or dismissal of something. Forgiveness, to release or the dismissal of something. But if I look at the World Dictionary, I see that the definition say it is a action or a process of forgiving or being forgiven. You see, we have received great forgiveness, and the best example of how we were forgiven by what Jesus Christ done on the cross. What he did, he released us, the sinners, from God's just penalty and the complete dismissal of all charges against us. Come on, y'all. Jesus forgave us, and it cost him his life. How much more would it be for us to forgive others? We don't have to die for it. We just have to be loving and kind and forgive. You see, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What that means? There's no more condemnation, no more condemning, no more penalty, no more price to pay, no more loops, no more this, no more. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You see, God's gracious forgiveness of our sins should always encourage us to forgive others. You see, in Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. I want to let you know tonight, forgiveness was freely given to us, and we should learn how to give it freely to others. You see, to some people, forgiveness may seem like weakness. If I let them get away with this, da-da-da-da-da. Or they believe that they are letting the undeserving person win. But it has no connection with weakness, because you know the world, what they call weakness, the Bible calls strength under control. Come on, y'all. Or even to emotions. Instead, forgiveness is an act of the will. Forgiveness is not granted because the person always deserves to be forgiven. Don't get it twisted. But then when we look at it, did we deserve to be forgiven? And it is right. No person deserves to be forgiven. But it's just the right thing to do, and it's what God asks us to do towards one another. You see, forgiveness can only be given because it is a deliberate act of love, mercy, and grace. Forgiveness is a decision not to hold something against another person despite what he or she done to you. And I've heard many people say, and it is true, many times people make the statement, yes, I will forgive, but I wouldn't forget. Our mind does not let things that register forget easy. We don't forget, but we learn how to deal with it and move on. So you're not going to forget because it happened to you, but you're able to move on in the midst of what happened to you. You see, many times people hold a grudge against someone, not willing to forgive them. And oftentimes the other person, now this will get me, and it's true. Believe me, this is true. The other person has forgotten all about it and moved on. And the one that is holding the grudge is miserably holding on. Unforgiveness keeps you stuck in the past. How many people you know was a child and they say, my mama did this, and they 86 years old. Look how long they was in the past. They was a little child, let's just say 10. And now they're 84, so that's what, 70 years. Come on, y'all. It keeps you stuck in the past. And you can't move forward holding on to the past. They have placed themselves in a prison of unforgiveness and are living in bondage full of anger and strife. Even though you forgive the other person, you must realize clearly, unmistakably tonight, even though you forgive the other person, that forgiveness is really for you, and you can freely move on. Forgiveness holds you hostage. It makes you bitter and angry. Every time you see that person, all that old bitterness riles back up in you. And now you're going to have a bad day. Come on, y'all. And it might have made you so angry someone else tell you something or ask you something and you're snapping their head off because you done went back in the past holding on to forgiveness that you won't let go. You see, many times forgiveness is misunderstood. When you are asked to forgive someone and you do, that doesn't mean the way you deal with the person won't change. I'm going to read that again. When you are asked to forgive someone and you do, that doesn't mean the way you deal with the person won't change. Now, yes, you got to continue to love and you got to continue this, but you might not have to be on the buddy claim with them. You don't have, you you could be kind and speak and doing all these things, but you might not, you know, be the same way, and that's okay. And God knows that, but you're supposed to forgive. You see, you know, when you forgive them and the way you deal with them may change, you might not trust them like you trusted them before, and it's okay because you have a reason not to trust the same way. See, don't be misunderstood about forgiveness. Don't believe what they say now is true. You know, plenty of times we took everything somebody said as true. We took their word at face value. If they done proved to not be a truthful person and they maybe told lies on you and you forgave them, you know they're not truthful, then you don't have to take them at their word. And many times the relationship must change. I'm going to give y'all an example when I learned about the difference and got rid of the misunderstanding about forgiveness in my life. And I'm going to go back some years. It's a lot of years. I was married, my second marriage, and my husband had did, you know, things that you know, wasn't right, but show you how people do, especially, I don't know about the white people, but I know black and the black race, you know, two people have a relationship, and let's just say maybe the man was abusive, and you know how they do all on TV, you see the man be abusive, and he come back and say, baby, I'm sorry, baby, you got to forgive me, baby, I'm sorry. They believe when that person say, yes, I forgive you, that means come back home and come, let's start where we was. They ain't took care of none of the problems now. They figure because the person said, I forgave you, everything is just like it was, or even better. That's misunderstanding of forgiveness. And I'm using that one because the Holy Ghost taught me this, like I say, years and years ago. And so back to the story, I had a husband, and he did things, and he asked me to forgive him. And I did forgive him. But his thing was, if I forgave him, why I didn't take him back? And why, you know, I didn't do this and that? Because once, you know, plenty of time, and people do that every day now. Oh, I forgive you, come on. But when they say, I forgive you, come on, look at that little gap. They didn't work none of the problems out. So they did what they did. You forgave them. You took them back. Didn't work nothing out. And it's a possibility the same thing's going to happen. And my ex-husband, you know, knew I was trying to be closer with God. So he would tell me things like, God forgave you. You got to forgive me. You know, he started looking up scriptures to give me about forgiveness. But I had forgiven him. So, you know, I tossed with it a little while. I say this, mm-mm. But the Holy Ghost spoke to my spirit and told me, Diane, you did forgive him, but that doesn't mean you have to go back with him. You have the duty to forgive him, and you keep it moving. And then I understood forgiveness. It was my duty to forgive, but it was not my duty to stay there. And that's what people got to truly understand, because many times it's misunderstood. Many times people hold a grudge against someone, not willing to forgive the other person. You got to keep remembering that, Joe. And as I was giving an example of forgiveness, and that's what we should do, it doesn't always produce the consequences, especially the person that did wrong, would like to achieve. I looked at the Israelites. God forgave them over and over and over and over and over and over again. But they were forced to live with their consequences. God forgave them, and he would save them. But there was a consequences attached to their actions. And that's just like us forgiving somebody. You could look at the 10 o'clock news, and a man could have killed a lady's daughter, and the man go to jail, and the lady say she couldn't rest until she was able to get to the prison to tell a man that she forgave him. She got to the prison, and she told him she forgave him, and she said that was the new beginning of her being able to move on in life. But the man still had to stay in jail. So forgiveness doesn't erase the sin of the action, but we forgive them with our heart. We show them mercy as God has showed us mercy, and we keep it moving. Examples. If you had a chance to read the whole chapter, and I'm sure most of you didn't because it didn't get posted, but we're in the 18th chapter now. In this chapter, Jesus was teaching, and he was teaching on forgiveness. And he was saying, you know, plain and simple, forgive your brother. So when we get into 22nd chapter, Peter heard what Jesus said, and now he asked Jesus a question. And verse 21 says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall thy brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times but until 70 times 7. Say, should I forgive him 3 times? And I'm going to tell you why Peter chose the number 3. See, when Peter said 7 times, he thought that he was being generous. You see, there was a rabbi that used to always read from the book of Amos in the temple, and it taught that since God forgave Israel enemies 3 times, it was presumptuous and unnecessary to give a person more than 3 times. Or they're going to stick to the law. If he forgave them 3 times, I'm going to forgive them 3 times. Not 4, 5, and 6. So see, Jesus got to clean this up. Because he know how our fable mind works. So Peter said 7, and he thought he was being generous because he knew about the law, not the law, but the reading of the 3 times. And Jesus come back and tell him 70 times 7. That number Jesus said 7 times 7. We know 7 is spiritual in its completion. So if Jesus said 70 times 7, you know that's like a lot. It's like a lot of forgiveness and a lot of blessings and a lot got to go into it. 70 times 7. Of course, this was not just saying if you multiply 7 times, 7 is 490 times. But Jesus wasn't saying, no, I want you to do it 490 times only. But was rather saying every time your brother asks you to forgive him. Then some people will say, I done forgave him. Because, you know, people say, I done forgave her 3 times. I'm tired of it. Forgive him the 4th time, going to keep you moving on. And it's an act of love. How many times should you love? How many times is too many times to love or show mercy or be grateful to someone that asks you for forgiveness? Jesus said, for our forgiveness with his death. And nobody ever going to ask you to forgive them that's going to cost you too much that you can't pay. When the Bible used the word brother, it's usually speaking of a saved person. Whenever you read the Bible and it say brother or sister and stuff, it's usually talking about a saved person. So it say every time your brother asks you to forgive him. When the Bible used the word brother, it's usually speaking of a saved person, someone who has decided to follow Christ. And 7 is a spiritual number, and 7 times 7 is what I said earlier. Because if we look at Galatians 6 and 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, and I'm throwing this one in because it said about the brother, in the world we live in, we have to be forgiven to all. So I got Galatians 6 and 10. Therefore, we have opportunity, so let us do good to all, especially those in the household of faith. We will see in this parable how important it is to forgive others. See, Jesus is going to talk about a parable. You know, many times Jesus was asked a question and he came back with a parable so his answer could be easier understood. We saw in the verses above here that Peter asked the question. And we see that now he's going to go into a parable about how important it is to forgive others. If we expect God to forgive us, then we must forgive also. So the parable starts like this in the 23rd verse. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. The scripture said a king. Well, he's talking about a king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him. A king would always what people in his kingdom owed him. Come on, y'all. So he would call them in, and I guess he would go with them and go over the books one at a time. And when he had begun to reckon, I'm in the 24th verse, one was brought to him which owed 10,000 talents. 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. He came in, he owed a lot of money. The king was going to bound him and put him into slavery, not just him, his wife, and his children, till he could get paid. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, God, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, let's remember how much he owed now. 10,000 talents. So here we see Jesus is talking to the parable so that they could understand better. Jesus is compared to the king in this parable, and the unforgiven servant is anyone who holds unforgiveness in their heart towards others. I want you to know that that 10,000 talents was a large amount of money, and it is equated to millions of dollars today. Now, you know back then $1 million was a lot of money, how much he owed. Come on now. So you could understand the compassion of that king to forgive him because he asked. You see, the talents was a large denomination of currency, and 10,000 was a significant number. The king did what was right for him to do. You know, it was a law back then, if someone owed you money and you could prove they owe it and they couldn't pay it, you have the right to put them in servitude, to make them a slave or put them in prison and let them work off the money that they owed you. So the king was operating in the law, and that was the law. He was operating in the law. He wasn't doing nothing wrong if he'd have let it stand, but he had compassion. Come on, y'all. And he let it go. Just like our debt we had to pay. There was nothing we could do in and of ourselves that would be good enough to pay that debt without the blood of Jesus. Jesus paid the price all to him we owe. And how do we pay him? By allowing our bodies to become living sacrifices, by not being conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, by serving one another. Come on, y'all. So what happened? The servant fell down and bowed down before him, which you would do for a king, to a king, and ask for forgiveness. And the man wasn't asking as much as he wanted to honor the king, or even that he wanted to repent, or he was so-called sorry. But he honored him, and he humbled himself by bowing down, and he honored him, and the man let him go. You see, he prostrated himself before his Lord, as customary in the Eastern nations, when subjects are in the presence of their king. Not anything that this man said or did, nor any effort on his part, but it was the pure mercy and the grace of the king, just like God and us. He loosed him from the obligation of punishment, from the spirit of bondage that he would suffer, and even from the guilt of sin, and also the works of the law. He totally freed him. This is the same thing that happened to us. Our debt was so great we couldn't pay it. The Lord forgave the debt because he knew it would be impossible for us to pay. Come on, y'all. it would have been impossible. Because if it was any way possible, we could have paid our debt, then Jesus would not have had to die. If we go to verse 28, it says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him. Now, he owed the king, but they had people that owed him too, which owed him, and guess how much the man owed him right here in verse 28, 100 pence. And he laid hands upon the man and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Give me what you owe me. Choking the man for 100 pence. In verse 29, and his fellow servant fell on the ground at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. 30. And he would not, but sent and cast him into prison till he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry and came and told the Lord all that was done. You see, these people were standing by and they saw what he did. Now, they knew the king had just forgave them. You know, that was probably the talk of the town. The king forgave Joe Blow for millions of dollars. They knew what had happened. Excuse. And yet, right now, they got to look at the actions of this man. Come on, y'all. And it disturbed them. You know how sometimes you see injustice and you have to tell it? Their fellow servants saw what was done and was very sorry and came and told the Lord. You see, this lets us know we should follow the golden rule. If you don't know the 66 books of the Bible, if you don't know how many verses and chapters in the Bible, if you don't know the names of all the characters in the Bible, come on, y'all. If you know the golden rule, the Bible say you would have saved yourself and you would have accomplished all the laws and the prophets. And what that means, all the laws that was on the book, thou shall not. If you follow the golden rule, you will cover all of them, thou shall and thou shall not. And the law of the prophets, everything that God gave the prophets to tell the people, you would accomplish all of that. It would be fulfilled by following the golden rule. And the golden rule is not, it extends widely. And I like to say tonight, the golden rule, forgive others as you want to be forgiven. Plain and simple. You see, what he was given so freely, he held back from someone who asked him for the same thing. See, that's the kind of things God's going to really hold us for. You see, he said, some things you don't know. But you see, the things you know, you can have no excuse. He couldn't say, oh, I didn't think about it. I could forgive him. You thought about asking forgiveness for yourself. You know how you sounded when you asked for that forgiveness. The man said, just what you said, but you didn't. You will have no excuse. You see, you should never go looking for things that you're not willing to give. And so many people do that. They love to receive, but they don't know how to give. They want to have a friend, but they can't show themselves friendly. And so on and so on and so on. The Bible said we're going to reap what we sow. Don't go look for a harvest of things that you did not sow. Did I help somebody along the way, but yet I won't help? You know, and I could go on and on, but with that's the next Wednesday, and we'll be still saying the opposite of things that people want and that they won't give. You see, 110 was about 3 months' salary, or someone would call it mere pennies. The man asked him, have patience with me. He even said, I'm going to pay it to you. Just have to be patient. The forgiven man had heard all of the pleading he had given before his master, but was utterly without compassion. It don't matter. He forgave me. Well, that's on him. I ain't going to forgive him. You see, that's how bigoted, prideful people talk. I got mine, but I ain't going to let him get his. Ooh. But he wouldn't let him go. But he took him and he cast him into prison. And he did what the law said to do too. Now, and I got to bring that to you. They was not following the law. That's why Jesus came and showed us how to love. You see, the law was written, but it had an underlining The law was written, but we need to know the intent. It was truly written for. Like when it says that someone slapped his cheek, Jesus said, let him slap the other one. Things like that. If they ask for your coat, give them two. So they want to be using a letter to the law. So the man went to the proper officers, and he did prove the debt, and he got him sent to jail because that was the only way he could go to jail so he could pay his debt. But look how crazy and stupidity and evil the man was, because a prisoner cannot pay a debt. Come on, y'all. You know, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in Matthew's the 6th chapter, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And if we look at verse 32, and then the Lord, after he had called him and said unto them, they went and told the king what the man had did. And the king called him in. And in his verse 32, he said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desired me. 33. Shouldn't thou have not had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? In the last verse. And his Lord was wroth, mean angry, upset, and delivered him to the tormentors until he could pay all that was due unto him. Look how he messed himself up for penance. Come on, y'all. Chasing penance. Chasing penance. He was forgiven millions, decided to chase penance in a way that not pleasing to God, and wind up with the tormentors. Verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart, and this Jesus talking, y'all, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother's trespasses. How you like that? They have to forgive, y'all. God asks us to forgive. You know, nobody appreciate cruelty. The servant was quick to ask for forgiveness in a large amount he owed, but the small debt that the servant owed, he would not forgive. We got to remember, in this particular case, he got forgiveness. So it should have taught him how to forgive. And since Jesus gave us the greatest forgiveness, we all should appreciate how good forgiveness that we received it so freely, we should want to give it freely, y'all. And the title of my lesson is Forgiveness is necessary for your well-being. I'm going to read these little things and it's going to be it for the night. You know, like, so likewise, I want to let you know forgiveness is a blessing because you're doing what God has commanded you to do. Number one, if we want to say it, I don't have numbers. I just wrote words. And it's a healing. It's a healing for yourself and many times because if a person is asking you for forgiveness with a sincere heart and they call it sorry and they're repenting, it's a healing for them as well as for you. I want you to know that it's a process. And you got to be patient because sometimes you could have done something to somebody and you tell them you're sorry and looking for forgiveness and they don't get it. The Bible have an answer for that too. They say go to someone else, get you a witness if necessary. And they say go to the elders of the church and let them know you asked for it and you did what you were supposed to do. And they wouldn't give it. And then you still move on. You did what you're supposed to do. They're not doing it. They're not, doing their part. You're not held for that. If you ask for forgiveness and they don't forgive you, keep it moving because you have done what you're supposed to do. And forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice to do what is right. Because it's just the right thing to do. And you might say, well, Sister Diane, why you say that? I say, because God got it in his word. And I want to let you know it's not always easy. But God didn't promise a rose garden. And it was not easy for Jesus to obtain our forgiveness. So do it anyway. Once you forgive, it has given you a peace. And as the scripture says, peace that surpasses all understanding. And peace is also empowering. Because it allows you to move on. And once you have asked for forgiveness, or have forgiven someone who has asked you, it gives you total freedom from bondage. No more shackles on your feet. And I'm going to close with Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, bawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Oh, I got some people I know didn't forgive somebody, and they are just a wreck every time they see the person, every time they hit a person, every time they see a car like the person got, every time they pass by the person's job. Golly. Along with every form of malice. 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Just as in Christ God forgave you. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns, we could have it at that time. And always remember, you could say something that someone that's listening, first of all, may need to hear. And the way you said it, it may give them a better understanding. This is our Bible study. It's not mine. So at this time, anyone has anything they would like to say, they can at this time. If there's nothing anyone would like to say, I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. The Bible study time for Wednesday night is being changed to 7 o'clock. I made that statement early, and while I was doing the lesson, I'm going to come back. I have a call. A call on 900 6th Street. Your mic is open.
Yeah, Ariana was trying to talk. So go ahead, Ariana. Ariana?
Yes, ma'am.
You can speak now. They can hear you.
It's like it was hard for me to really, like, forgive her. It took me a long time to forgive my mama after all, you know, all the things that she did to me as a baby and at birth. And it's like when you gave your message, it's like I really took heed to that because, once again, it took me a long time to forgive her with everything that she done and everything that she said to me as, you know, as me being a child and at birth. So it's like to this day I'm still going through it, but I'm trying to forgive her. I'm trying.
Amen. Well, as you said earlier, you have forgiven her, and that's what you keep telling yourself. You have forgave her. You're not going to forget that what happened. But when you forgive her, you know, it helps you to move on. It helps you to walk in the newness. If you stay stuck in the past, how are you going to get to the new beginning?
Yeah, because, like I said, it took me longer than my sister and brother on her side to forgive her. Because I'm the one suffered the most out of the whole situation. So that's why I say it took me longer than my brother and sister to forgive her. They forgave her right away, but I couldn't because it was too hurtful of the thing that she done to me. But now, as I'm getting older, I'm 34 going on 35, and I understand that forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you and for your healing.
Thank you, my sister. And even though she did that, God, look what God has brought you to. And God is not finished with you yet. God can turn pain into sunshine if you let him.
Yes,
God didn't. God was right there when it was happening. He's right with you now.
Yes, ma'am.
And your best is yet to come.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're still standing.
Yes, I am.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much, Ariane, for sharing with us.
You're welcome.
I would like to...
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Something as well. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. When we look at all that God has forgiven us from, it makes sense for us to forgive others. If you truly examine ourselves and remember what God has forgiven us, it makes sense to forgive others. Not only do it make sense, it frees us from the torture that we go through having resentment in our heart. No, we can't change what others have done to us. But we can write it off like this king did. He wrote off the debt and began to make amends. We have to write off the debt, Joe, and forgive. Jesus Christ died and bled on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He went to the cross telling us, going to the grave, how important it is to forgive. I enjoyed the lesson on tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Cloud. Anyone else? And what I was saying was the Bible study time will be 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time on the first week in September, which should be September the 6th. The time is going to be earlier, starting on next Wednesday, 7 o'clock. If someone you know that's on the program, that's not on the program, let them know. And, of course, I'm going to send the notices out. And I would imagine people that's listening on the Internet, I don't know if they listen to the program live, because you could go back and listen at any time. The time wouldn't really affect that. But the time is going to be 7 o'clock. And the reason I'm coming back again, because I say all the time, I usually don't make a move or make a change without asking you guys, because I state with my mouth, and I mean it with my heart, that this is our Bible study. So at this time, I want to get a comment or so on the 7 o'clock hour from you guys, if you would please do that so I can know. If you press the one button and say the 7 o'clock is all right or it's good or whatever, you know, I just... Well, anyway, I gave you guys the opportunity. I don't like to do things without including, you know, all of us. Hold on. 715, your mic open, Minister Mackey.
Yes, it's a bad time for me. I do Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 already.
What time do you finish?
It's an hour, 7 to 8.
Okay, I need to know that because I wouldn't like to do it without you. We all started together. I really should say it's 8:30, all right. I just thought, I don't know, maybe because we're getting older, you know, sometimes that late time, people go to bed early or something like that. But what, well, at this time, I'm not going to do 7, because I'm going to just tell y'all like this. I have the ability to change any day of the week as well. So, but I want it to be the consensus of everybody. So the time will not be 7. It's going to change to 8. That's still a half an hour earlier. So we, you know, I would like to eliminate Minister Mackey being on the line with us, because our prayers help us. Her singing is with us, and she's praying along with us. So the time is going to be changed to 8. So Mackie could get off of her line and come on this one. Is that better for you, Mackie?
Yes, it is.
So the time is going to be 8. And you see, I'm asking for comments, and I thank you, Minister Mackie, because people change things when they're in control. They do what they want to do. I want to do what's worked for all of us, and that's why I took time to act. So the time won't be 7, but we will come down to 8. So we'll be 8 to 9 at this time. And if we decide to do something else, you know, like I say, the radio station that I'm on, I have the ability to do it any day of the week. When this program got started, the young man that asked me to be on it, to be a part of it, this was a time that he gave me. I just never changed it. And that was in 2012. So we're going to have 8 o'clock. So remember, 8 o'clock, you guys. 8 o'clock. So we're going to do 8 o'clock. Y'all got it? All right. And that's what I'm going to post. Thank you so much, Minister Mackey. Call 900-6348. Your mic is open.
Yes. We do the Women of Liberty line on 7 o'clock on Wednesdays as well. Like today, I didn't get off until after 8:20.
We changed the time to 8 o'clock. I'm not going to do 7. I'm doing 8.
Yeah, all right.
Because you had stopped to call me, and I didn't know you had heard the 8 o'clock. So you got it, Minister Cloud?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Anyone else? This has been a great session. The time is now going to start on the 6th of June for 8 o'clock. At this time, we're going to have our benediction. Thank you guys for calling in today. I don't know about you, but I had a good time in Bible study tonight, and I pray that you guys did too. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I pray that the Holy Spirit illuminated and gave you revelation of the true intent that God had these scriptures placed in the Bible. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
And benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Until next week, it is my desire that God bless each and every one of us real good. Until next week, go in peace and be blessed. Good night.
Good night.